Minutes ready?
Yes.
I'd like to call to order the special trustee meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees. Today is Tuesday, August 16th. Time is now 7 p.m. Before I call this meeting to order, I'd like to ask Mr. Beard to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And the crowd said, amen.
Amen.
Play ball.
Thank you all for coming out. You know, again, this is a special session for those. I see a lot of faces from the previous meeting. The purpose of this meeting is to discuss and consider a motion on application ZC 2011-05 as a result of a public hearing which was held on August 4th, 2011, and also to approve any purchase orders over $2,500. Essentially, what the point of this meeting is, it is in essence a continuation of the last meeting that we held on this application. And during that time, we followed a process. We listened to our staff provide a report. We then recognized the applicant to come up and provide a synopsis. And we accepted public comment during that period. And when we ended the meeting that evening, we were into the deliberation phase of this board. And that is where we're picking up. We are still in the deliberation phase of this board. Therefore, we will not be considering any public comment this evening. You know, we still reserve the right to recognize individuals if we need to clarify anything or if we have any loose ends that we want to address. So with that housekeeping notes, let's see here. I guess I'd like to first get started by recognizing the applicant, EPCON, who's here this evening. And I guess the first thing I would like to have is some clarification regarding the divergences that have been requested and any details or clarification of your application to the public, to the staff, and trustee comments that were made at the previous meeting. So please take it away, Mr. Rhodes, Joel Rhodes.
Thank you, Mr. Carfagna. Thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you all again about this matter. I think it's important to summarize where we are and talk about where we need to be, hopefully, by the end of the meeting, but also to remember that this is a unique plan for a unique parcel of property. This is a one-time opportunity for the development of this site and to do it in a way that I think any of us can look back at and say we're proud of it. It was good for the property owner, it was good for the people that will live there, and it was good for the township overall. We're here tonight to ask you to decide four things. One is the rezoning of this property from rural residential to planned development, and then to consider three variances. Now, I know a lot has been talked about numerous variances. A lot of numbers have been used, how many variances or divergences have been requested. We're here to talk about three divergences. The first is the size of the district. Your code requires that a planned development district be 25 acres. We have a 7.67 acre parcel. The second is the density. Your code talks about a density of 1.8, in some cases 2.2. We're asking for your approval of a divergence to allow a density of 4.17. And then the third divergence, is a little bit different in that as I read the code, as I have consulted with experts, I do not believe we need a divergence for common open space. As I calculate common open space, we exceed the requirement of 15% by having 18% common open space. Now, if you feel differently, in the alternative, I would like to ask for approval of a divergence request for that common open space. So those are the four things: rezoning, divergence on the size of the district, a divergence for the density, and then finally a determination on whether or not a divergence is needed for common open space.
Okay. Does the board have any initial questions or comments?
I do. I'll jump in.
Please.
And I brought this question up last time to Phil and would like a more complete answer on this, but how do you justify 4.1 units per acre?
I think there are a couple of ways to look at that. One is to look at some of the existing developments in the township and see how those have been handled. Without a doubt, we're asking for a divergence. But I think when you look at the precedent, when I look at other developments that EPCON has built in the township at densities higher, when I look at other developments that EPCON has built in the surrounding jurisdictions with higher densities, I think a divergence is supported. And then when I look at existing non-EPCON developments in the township, and I look at how this parcel would fit in with them, I believe that would also support the request for a divergence. And I'll talk a little bit more detail about that. I think another very important factor is the age restriction. I think that changes everything. When we think about a legal age restriction and how that impacts density and the effect of this development on the neighbors and the township at large, I think it's a very different impact. Then we can also talk about access to the cemetery and a few other details like that. When we look at the existing developments in the township, particularly the four that are closest to this parcel, by that I mean Northern Lakes, Park Bend, Sherbrook, and Eagle Trace, and I look at the overall densities of those much larger developments, and they average just about 2.5 units per acre. Two or three of those have a condominium component that is at a much higher density, 5.5, I think in one case, 8 units per acre. This ties in with the divergence we're asking for parcel size. This parcel is adjacent to Northern Lakes. It's adjacent to Sherbrooke. And I think had it been submitted at the same time as part of the same applications, we probably wouldn't be having these conversations. Because when I average in the courtyards on Tussock with either Northern Lakes or Sherbrooke, it fits in overall at about that 2.48 or 2.49 density. Now, without a doubt, it didn't come in at the same time as either Northern Lakes or Sherbrooke. But I think when you live in the neighborhood, when you drive down Tussock Street, or when you look at the township overall, you say, how is this going to feel? How is it going to live? I don't think anybody's going to say, well, this development was approved in 2011, and that one was approved in 2004, and that one was approved at a different time. And so I think when you look at the context, it's in keeping with everything else up and down Tussock Street, whether it's any of those four developments. So I think that's a very important consideration. Then I think when you look at the age restriction and how should that affect density, and with that age restriction comes a number of things. I think very little traffic, very low population per acre, not just dwelling units per acre, but population per acre, and what that means on municipal services, whether it's water or sewer or emergency, police, fire. All of those things come into play in a very different way with the age restriction. I think another important factor is to look at the style of housing here. These are smaller ranch-style homes. They're not big, traditional single-family homes with 3.5 or 4 people per home average. So I would propose to you that there should be a factor for that, that an age-restricted ranch-style product in keeping with an existing neighborhood should have a bonus, a density bonus, because without it, it's not going to work economically. As some of us have talked in the past, we could build anything, we could do anything, but when we look at the market and what the age-restricted home buyer wants today, it is this size of home, this price point. And if we deviate from the density that we have requested here, we're not going to be able to accommodate that buyer. And so as a result, I think the divergence is supported both by the existing neighborhoods as well as by the economics of the age-restricted product and the impact of the age-restricted product.
Question.
Please.
Joe, I may have asked this the last time. Will you be building these in phases, and about what percent, I mean, knowing what the market is out there, what percent of those are going to be spec versus purchased homes?
We would not build many, if any, spec homes.
Okay.
Our plan is to build a model, to sell from that model home, and then to build maybe a couple of specs, but primarily just to build what we've sold.
Any idea what type of duration? I mean, at what point would you say we're anticipating that this is going to be built out?
I think it's probably about 2 years.
Okay. Thanks.
I guess my question is more for our staff, Mr. Klase. You know, you've been working with EPCON over the past several months. I mean, you know, our board's concern is not necessarily so much with this application, but for the so-called slippery slope. You know, it's what does this pose for future development? And what we would like to see is something that is uniquely crafted for this unique parcel of land. Can you speak a little bit to that? Do you believe that's what is being proposed here, I guess? Speak to maybe the risk of this being replicated in other sites down the road.
I think the product they're proposing may fit some other sites, and maybe some even easier than this one. But as far as being replicated, I know they had a lot of unique situations, such as the cemetery and the limited access just off Tussock there, that proved to be a little bit difficult for how the site may develop. So I as far as how you try to develop any other site, I think you're going to be running into a similar type situation as far as how that may pan out if you had a site that was a similar character. But I know we talked at the last meeting about the site to the south of this. They don't have the situation where it's adjoining a cemetery, and they likely won't be providing the same benefits. Mm-hmm. So I guess the idea that it may impact other sites, the way this is approved, may be a good thing, because I do think the product's probably similar to what we see with, like, Romanelli's development up at the Oaks at Highland Lakes there, the Homestead at Highland Lakes, and maybe not out of character with that area. So it's not something that we've seen on Tussock, but it is something we've seen in those other developments.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you for that.
I guess, too, question on, again, formula for density, Joe. We talked a little bit about this before.
Yeah. So the applicants provided the basics of the surrounding neighborhoods and density per acre, and how this may play into joint development if it were to be platted or developed at the same time. I think their argument, it may be justified for the small nature of the property, just in that it's a much lower density than what we've seen in the condos and the other areas. And when combined with Northern Lakes and or Sherbrooke, it tends to still be a lower density than what Park Bend or Eagle Trace were approved at.
If I may.
Sure.
Part of our position would be to say, if you have a parcel like this that is surrounded by existing development, it would be appropriate to look at how it fits in with the existing development. And in this case, when I, again, just comparing to these four neighborhoods that we mentioned, I think it is in keeping when you look at the density, when you look at the style of housing, when you look at the price points. And so I think to pull it out and apply a different standard to it, like you might to a development on the edge, would be this should be looked at differently, and it should be looked at in conjunction with those neighborhoods around it. And I think it was very helpful to say, if this was part of Northern Lakes, what would that do to the overall density of Northern Lakes? And I think it would still be in keeping. Same thing with Sherbrooke.
Mm-hmm. I know at the last meeting we there was some discussion about the common open space
mm-hmm.
and some of the disagreements with the zoning commissioner over that, what constitutes open space. And I know our board hasn't really had a chance to really delve into that. I know we were talking mostly about density mm-hmm. at the last meeting, but Mr. Rhodes, I mean, can you talk a little bit about, I mean, if a divergence is going to be requested on your part, how do you intend to satisfy the open space requirements?
I guess we would look at open space and common open space both. At this point, as we have calculated open space, staff is in agreement, or I am in agreement with staff, we are in agreement that we have calculated open space in a way that both complies with the code and exceeds the code requirement. So I think we can set that aside and say we're just talking about common open space. Now, as we look at common open space, I again would say we comply with the code and we exceed the code. The code requirement is 15%. We've provided 18%. Staff and the Zoning Commission look at that a little bit differently and say we would calculate common open space differently than you do. However, when I read the code, I see a couple of important things that are called out in the code. It talks about accessibility. It talks about suitability. It talks about appropriateness. Now, we can debate what the intent was when those words were chosen, but when I look at the plan and I say we have open space at the entry to this community, we have a gazebo, we have some sidewalks, we have some ponds, not just detention or retention storm water management basins, but some ponds that will be landscaped, maintained, stocked, appropriately provided as a recreational amenity for the residents. So that complies with everything that I read in the code and everything that I think about. If someone was to say to me, what does common open space mean? I would say this fits that criteria. So that's why I would argue that we comply with the common open space requirement. Now, you may say, I don't care how nice those ponds are, if they have even the slightest bit of stormwater management utilization, they shouldn't count. I don't think that makes sense, but I believe some people in the Zoning Commission argue that. Then I would say, why don't we take some of the other green space, some of the other open space, but not common open space, on the site, and let's improve it in a way that makes it more accessible with a leisure path. It's already landscaped. It's already common space as defined by the condominium documents. Let's make it accessible and suitable. And when we do that, we more than double the common open space that we provide. If we provide leisure paths around the north side of the site and the west side and then connecting on the south side. So I think those are two ways to look at the common open space. In addition, I think we can talk about your code provides for off-site open space. And while certainly the existing cemetery is not part of this development, right now it's landlocked. There's the only practical access is over another property owner's land. There's no legal access. We would provide both legal and practical access to almost 3/4 acre of that township cemetery. So I'd say here's another way that we've either met or exceeded the common open space requirement. So those are the three or four things I look at when I say we have either exceeded the common open space requirement or have certainly supported the request for a divergence.
Joe, am I correct in my figuring that between 15% and 18% is about 0.2 acre? Would that be? Yeah. Okay. So we're talking 0.2 acre variation. That's alleged variation.
That's right.
Okay.
I think another thing to think about when you talk about that discrepancy, we exceed the open space requirement substantially. 40% is required. We're at 49%. And while we haven't asked for a credit for exceeding the open space requirement. I think if you say a divergence is really what they're asking for here, that would be another way to say they've exceeded open space, maybe they're lacking on common open space. Let's look at it overall in the aggregate.
The aggregate of the township?
The aggregate of both open space and common open space together. Not to separate them out, but to look at them jointly.
Joe, what are your feelings? What's the staff's feelings on common open space?
I think the divergence is needed. I know they provided justification for the testimony and submittal, so it'd just be at the board's discretion. I think the combination of the items that they've submitted, including the off-site mitigation, I think we just need further discussion as we get a final development plan secured.
And that would be discussion that would come, well, assuming that there would be a motion to approve, those discussions would then be held with the Zoning Commission, am I not mistaken?
The Zoning Commission and the Board of Trustees, I think as we figure out definite placement of buildings and streets and everything through a final development plan, that would be something we're going to address and, if the board was open to a divergence for that.
Mr. Your comment that I would like to make a comment on. Is it common open space, stormwater retention, or if it's stormwater retention, common open space? I mean, I think if we can maximize stormwater retention and turn it into something even more productive, more valuable, and I guess that's just a personal philosophy. So, hopefully we aren't splitting hairs and on those kind of issues, but it's there, so let's. I would hope we could maximize.
I agree.
In any development, just not this one. Philosophically.
I'm still concerned about the density, and we talked last time. Phil and I, were talking about in the meeting about the reduction of the number of units, and under the rules, you would have to propose a reduction, and you indicated, Phil, that there was some wiggle room on this. What would be your bottom line in reducing the number of units?
I think to look at that issue, I would go back to the impact and what could I do with density to change the impact of this development on the neighborhood. And if I was to cut a unit or two, I am convinced that the impact on the people that live around this development or the people that drive up and down Tussock Street or those who provide service to the development, water and sewer and anything else, are not going to see any substantial difference in how this community affects them, how it appears to them, and how it feels upon completion or 10 years from completion. So when I think about cutting units, in my mind I have a tough time saying, what do I cut that makes a significant difference, and how do I justify that variation from our business model and from the development that we presented?
Yeah, part of what we're looking at as trustees is the precedent, as Rick has stated. So that is a concern that we have.
If I might ask a question, please, on that very point. Mm-hmm. As we did a little homework.
Ms. Rose, could you pass the and state your name?
Phil Fankhauser. As we did a little homework preparing for tonight, we were really anxious and interested, and we appreciate help from the staff, to learn some of the factual details of other nearby approved zonings in the recent past. And when we were able to find, I believe it's three very nearby zonings that included higher density condominiums within an overall lower density, we took that as an example for the trustees to be able to say there is there is a perspective for you to take that says this isn't the first time a density of this amount has been approved. In fact, higher has already been approved in this neighborhood. The only difference is that higher density came in on the same piece of paper with more acres in the single-family homes. And that's why when we did the exercise to say, had we been a part of either the adjacent neighborhood to the north or the adjacent neighborhood to the west, either one of those neighborhoods, we would have actually looked to you tonight as a lower density than either of those. So I'm anxious for you to be able to have what I believe is a reasonable level of comfort that this is not an exception or creating a dangerous precedent for you to have to worry about with a future application. I think there is precedent there that says even higher densities have been approved mixed in and among an existing lower density single family neighborhood, which is exactly the way this will end up.
We ought to talk about when we first applied for this request, we had 35 homes on this property. And as a result of the process to date, we have cut three of those to 32. And so we have already made some variance from where we started with this proposed development.
Could you, and glad you mentioned that too, because I know that originally the footage separation, mm-hmm. we spoke about this at the last meeting, was originally, I think, 6 feet.
That's right.
And it has now been changed to
11 feet. Mm-hmm.
And
your code requires an 11-foot building separation. Mm-hmm. When we first applied, we had a 6-foot building separation. That's the building spacing that we have used elsewhere in central Ohio and around the country with this product, this very same product, typically a 6-foot side-to-side separation and a 10-foot back-to-back separation. After talking with staff, your fire inspector, we changed that to an 11-foot separation here. That caused us to remove a building. We also spent some time talking about the setback from the center line of Tessick Street, and that caused us to also look at the site plan and remove a couple more buildings. So those two items, in addition to density, went into that reduction from 35 to 32. Okay. And we're now in compliance with both the building separation requirement as well as the Tessick Street setback requirement. Okay.
And Joe, were those the concerns of the fire department? I mean, are there any remaining concerns of our fire department? I know there were some access issues, but were these those access issues?
No, the access issue that they had was regarding separation of a fire access from the main entrance.
Okay.
That's still outstanding, but it may be something we resolve through a final development plan if it got to that phase.
Okay. Joe, question on the density then on the immediately surrounding areas. And, Northern Lakes overall, 2.38 units per acre, but then you say there are condos also within that area. Where are the condos right around
I misspoke if I told you there were condos in Northern Lakes. My understanding is there are condos at Eagle Trace and at Park Bend on the east side of Tussock, but that the developments on the west side of Tussock that we are looking at, Sherbrooke and Northern Lakes, do not have condos. And
okay.
And that's why we kind of looked at the east side really as a comparison or as a control group. Mm-hmm. They already have some condos to say, well, if there had been condos on the west side, how would it then compare to the east side where there already are condos?
If the paperwork had come in as one versus separate.
Mm-hmm. Right. I understand your point there, right. So we've just got Northern Lakes that don't have condos in Sherbrooke, no condos, correct?
Yeah, correct. The Park Bend condos, it was actually rezoned as part of Harvest Wind.
So okay.
The Park Bend condos are the Harvest
Wind. Harvest
Wind, condos,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
okay.
Center Green.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see the approximate distance from Tussock to where the development will actually begin, Joel.
The first homes are 182 feet from the center line of Tussock.
Okay.
Yeah. We looked at existing developments up and down Tussock, both on the east and west side of the street, existing homes, as well as the dimension, the distance of those homes from the center line. And what Phil has is a drawing that shows existing homes and their distance.
Okay. This is about 1,000-foot window of Tussock. And on the east side, the average setback from the center line of Tussock to the front face of the structures, the average is 100 feet. On the west side, counting these two structures on the farm and then the ones to the north of the cemetery, the average setback from the center line of Tussock is 105 feet. And ours is 182 feet. So when you combine the cemetery acreage and our 182 frontage, feet of frontage with the water features and landscaping and fencing and so forth, it will be a very large permanent green envelope, if you will, for everyone to enjoy, not just the people who live there. But this is actual information involving setbacks for dwellings on both sides.
Thank you. Very helpful.
I'm still going back to the number of units. When you look at this map, there are, in the larger units, there are three here and there are four here.
Yes.
This would be a logical one to drop there. This goes out a little further than that.
That's correct.
That would be, I would think, one that could be done away with. Would you agree with that?
Would I agree that it should be or that it could be?
Either.
It could be.
It could be. Okay, and of course you'd have to propose that. Possible. I mean, and there are a lot of them back here, obviously, the two on the end. But. Okay.
Before we go any further, I guess I want to just take a step back and acknowledge the work that not only staff has done, but also our Zoning Commission has done. You know, I don't take it lightly that that all parties involved have put in a lot of time, a lot of research, and a lot of passion into this. And, you know, I admire the patience and the work that everyone has done on this. And personally, I want to thank EPCOT. I know each of us, I think, on our own initiative toured various developments throughout Central Ohio. I, of course, visited New Albany and saw the actual models that you're going, that you're proposing to build here, the floor plans. And I think that's important to, you know, get out there and see it, feel it, walk through it, get a sense of what it's going to look like. And also, it's important to, you know, walk the property, go past the property, see what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes looking at things on paper, like I said the last meeting, sometimes what's on paper doesn't always match up with reality. And, you know, we have to look at, you know, the current aesthetics versus the proposed aesthetics. I think we need to, we had numerous discussion about the need for this type of housing in our community as our residents grow older. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have to look too at what is the most practical fit for this parcel of land. And, you know, we're very limited in some of the other things that could go there. And none of the alternatives really are appealing, either to adjacent landowners or to the township as a whole. Mm-hmm. So I do think that this design is the best practical fit for this property. One more question I have for you would be regarding a divergence for common open space. What would be the, is there a threshold, a percentage that you're seeking?
As we've calculated the common open space today, it is 18%. As staff would calculate it, and Joe, correct me if I'm misstating, but my understanding is staff has calculated it at 12%. And so to the extent that a divergence is requested, it would be that 3% to get us to the from 12 to the 15% code requirement.
Well, I think it's probably important for our board to at least determine whether we feel a divergence is warranted for the common open space. Do any of you have any thoughts? Because I know, I mean, from what I'm hearing, you're definitely seeking two divergences.
That's correct.
And a potential third.
Yes.
But you need input from us as
That's right.
to officially ask for that divergence.
Yes.
My concern, again, is with the density, I guess, more than the that would be open space.
I see the hands. I announced previously at the beginning of the meeting that we're not...
Common open space meant.
So we're not...
We can't
I don't know the definition.
Yeah.
Common open space.
What's the definition?
Could you, Mr. Clays?
Does that mean the neighbor can walk through my yard from their yard? Or
no.
Is that just for the people who live in it?
I apologize. I
it's okay.
Late. Did you say you're not taking public comment?
We're not taking public comment this evening. This is a continuation of the previous meeting. At the previous meeting, we went for probably at least 3 hours. We had a portion of time dedicated for staff to present. We had a portion of time dedicated for the applicant to present. We had a portion of time for public comment. And then the last portion was for deliberation of the board. And that's when we adjourned the meeting. After we had already finished, we concluded the public comment the last meeting. We were into the deliberations. That's where we ended the meeting, and we're resuming at that point.
I apologize.
It's okay.
I am a very nearby resident, and I have been in touch with Joe. I asked for what was being presented this evening, and
okay.
I've never received anything.
Okay.
I do believe you're, I have some very legitimate comments regarding the zoning procedure that you're engaged in currently.
I understand. And I guess my response, we heard substantial comments at the last meeting from people who are for, people who are against. I think, is the audio online, Joe?
Yes.
And that
our audio's
on my neck, which is why I came tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how this is to proceed without public concerns being addressed.
Well, we heard public concerns at the last meeting. Like I said, we've also
my
received numerous emails.
Not really the development related.
Ma'am, I'm not.
Right.
I'm not taking
Are
any more public comment at this time.
The rezoning and development plan this evening?
The reviewing the rezoning this evening.
Okay. Divergences are not to be approved through a rezoning process. They go through a development plan process. They need variances for a rezoning to apply to development standards. In this district, they need a variance. If they're going to be granted that at the rezoning level.
Okay. Thank you.
What is your name?
Leslie.
Okay. Mr. Beard, I'm sorry.
We're out of order.
Yeah. I got the common open space if you did want me to address
please,
that.
Please address the definition.
It's parcels of land together with the improvements thereon and the use and enjoyment that shall be shared by the owners and the occupants of the individual building sites of the particular development, and it's accessible to all tenants and residents within the zoned property, but it's not required to be open to the general public.
Cool.
Okay. My question, though, to the board is to discuss a little bit the common open space. I think it's staff's position that it does not meet the common open space requirement and that a divergence would be needed.
Correct.
You would?
I would support
staff's recommendation. We would concur with those recommendations. Okay.
Understanding that, I would ask for a divergence on common open space for the 3% that the plan is divergent from the code requirement.
So it would be to clarify, you are requesting a divergence of 3% on the common open space from 12% to 15%.
That is correct.
Okay. And that is in addition to your request for a divergence allowing a 7.67 acre PRD and a maximum density of 4.17 units per acre.
That's correct.
Okay. And those three divergences are obviously in addition to the rezoning request from rural residential to planned residential zoning.
That is right.
Are there any further comments from the board members at this time?
Would you drop the one unit? Would you agree to do that in your application?
If I may, before I address that, let me take just a few moments to talk it over with the rest of us
okay.
from EPCON. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, we'll take a recess for
yeah.
a few minutes.
I honestly don't understand how...
Joe, can we pause the recording, please?
Yeah.
Yes, that I don't need more audio.
No. My concerns came up at the listening...
Okay.
Okay, we're...
Here we go.
Back out of recess. The time is 7:42. I failed to mention when we went into recess. It was probably only about 2 minutes ago.
Thank you. Understanding the request has been made to consider cutting one additional dwelling unit from the plan, a couple of questions come to mind, I think, before we can answer that. One is, we would like the flexibility to determine which unit that is. And it may be one on the north side, it may be one somewhere else. I think we would want to think about that, consider it with a number of our consultants and experts to say what building should that be if there was one cut, and then to try to understand if the board's support for the overall request with one unit being cut from it.
That would make sense to me.
Mr. Gebhardt?
No.
I'm sorry. I thought you. How would this substantially change what you're proposing? How would this substantially change the aesthetics? Or, I mean, what would be, I guess, the purpose of cutting it by one unit?
Well, I think it's more, again, I think it's the precedent. And I think you've made good arguments that if this were a larger piece of land, then this development may have been approved in that light, and I realize you're working with a limited amount. I do think there's a need for this. I think really there are a lot of people in Genoa and even touring the unit. We talked about this about Genoa people, and this is a compliment to Genoa, want to stay here. And so I think it's important that they don't have to go over to New Albany or go over to Hilliard. I still feel that one unit, knocking off one unit, it's not that much. And it's still, as far as density issues, is over our code, but I could live with that more. Maybe it's subjective.
Understanding that, I would like to amend our request to remove one unit from the plan. So we would be asking for approval of a plan with 31 units,
okay.
which I believe would be a density of about 4.04.
Okay.
I think that has the potential to increase both the open space and the common open space, depending on where that unit is and how it affects. But we would request to amend our plan for 31 units.
So noted then.
Thank you.
Are there any additional comments from this board? I'm prepared to offer a motion, but I will allow for any final questions, points of clarification from the board. Hearing none. I will move to approve the rezoning of EPCON Communities to planned residential zoning district from rural residential zoning district for 7.675 acres owned by Martha J. Fisher on property located at 6790 Tussock Street Road with respect to the resubmittal dated July 27, 2011. Along with any of the applicant's testimony this evening and on August 4th, 2011, with respect to application ZC 2011-05. This zoning will include the following divergences. Section 903.01, allowing a 7.67 acre PRD. Section 903.02, allowing a maximum density of 4.04 units per acre. Section 911, allowing a divergence of 3% of common open space from 12% to 15%. And of course, this would all be subject to the considerations and the commitments that have been submitted and expressed by the applicant to justify each of these three divergences. Mr. Rhodes, is that...
That is correct.
Is that consistent with what you're asking for?
That is my understanding, yes.
Okay. Is there a second on the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Gebhardt. Is there any final discussion? Hearing none. Now, it's my... Well, I guess one final point would be there are other divergences on here, and you would then, assuming that this is approved, you would then go back to the Zoning Commission with a final development plan to submit, dealing with the remaining divergences and any, I guess...
And any other details
any
of
other
the
details
that is correct.
Are yet to be hashed out.
Yes.
So, okay. Any other discussion? Hearing none. Mr. Clace, we call the roll.
Trustee Carfani.
Aye.
Trustee Lewis.
Aye.
Trustee Gebhardt.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
We had one additional item I was asked to cover. Gary sent me for his dirty work, so Chief Honeycutt's asked me to ask for some money for training for a rescue technician course. It's the Porter Kingston Fire Department's offering a hook and hose fire and rescue training, and it's my understanding he wants to send one firefighter from each of his three shifts. So it'd be a total of three firefighters at a course cost of $1,750 each. Total purchase order would be $5,250.
Okay.
I'll make that motion. I'll move to approve a purchase order to Hook and Hose Fire Rescue Training Company, LLC, in the amount of $5,250 for training for fire department personnel.
I will second that. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
Trustee Carfania.
Aye.
Trustee Lewis.
Aye.
Trustee Gebhardt.
Aye.
Motion carries. Is there any further business to come before the board this evening?
I have none. Oh, I'm sorry.
I make a motion to adjourn special trustee meeting.
Second.
Looks like 7:47 p.m.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? Please call the roll, Mr. Clace.
Trustee Carfania.
Aye.
Trustee Lewis.
Aye.
And Trustee Gebhardt.
Aye.
Motion carries. We are now adjourned.